Hey, angels were big in the 90s. People on TV were getting touched by them. Bryan Adams was singing about them. And John Travolta wasn't that kind of angel. It was called Michael, and it was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
It is the number one movie in America. My name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with a runaway bus full of movie podcasters like Camila Adams.
Help!
And Robin Hitchcock.
What does Bryan Adams have to say about angels?
Are you thinking about Jamie, whatever? How do you talk
the
to
Heights?
An angel?
That's not a Bryan Adams song?
That's no. The Heights.
Yeah, that's The Heights.
There's a thing called The Heights that isn't just for Bryan Adams's?
Correct. It was a TV show.
Yes,
and
that's
right. It was like banned from like this. It was like the Partridge Family had a hit,
right.
Basically.
And there was, and I forget the name of the main guy, but he was also an actor, and I use air quotes. And
but he was like a hunk. He was like on
was,
Tiger
you
Beat
know,
or whatever.
With his
like
windblown, wind blown in the eyes.
Okay.
And I think he was on 90210.
He beat up Donna. I want to say he beat up Kelly or Donna. He beat up whoever he was dating on the show.
Exactly. This is the exact age gap between you, Robin, and me of 18 months. Like, that's right. You can probably tell me about Blossom, too.
I loved Blossom. I had several hats.
But it was also pretty fun that the reboot of 90210 that came out, this guy, that guy was on it as well, singing this song again.
So because I think it was an Aaron Spelling joint.
Yeah, I think so.
And it might have been the same
I think
character.
He pretty much owned most of teen dramas on in the 90s.
Yeah. Like they might
he
be
was
in
the Shonda Rhimes of suburban white people in the 90s.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say the Goo Goo Dolls were singing about them in a reference to the movie City of Angels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One, I don't actually know if that movie is about angels.
It sure is.
It is.
And that movie is a loose remake of Wings of Desire.
Dan's favorite movie. Wings of Desire. No,
oh,
Wings
geez.
Of Desire.
Really? Dude. That's definitely one of those movies where, like, I heard about it, like, when I was, like, reading my sister's film textbooks, and then when I finally got, what was it called? Filmstruck. How sad that I couldn't even remember. And watched
it,
I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really, German people in the 80s?
I'm pretty sure Columbo's in it.
He is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Goo Goo Dolls was the second concert I ever went to.
Really?
The Goo Goo Dolls and Tonic. At a show brought to you by the website mp3.com.
Yes.
And I remember I was 13 or 14, and I was like, oh, it's really cool that when they played their big hit, what was the name of that song?
The Goo Goo Dolls?
The City of Angels.
Iris?
That's
Slide?
Probably. No, Iris was, okay. Slide was like a more upbeat. Iris was the ballad.
Okay.
They did that, and like he sang like a kind of different harmony part.
Ooh.
And at the time I was like, ooh, it's so cool that in the live version it's different. And then later I was like, oh no, he was just drunk and didn't want to hit high notes. He was just like, like
you want me to what?
The drunk was confirmed when during the encore he clearly left to pee. Like like they were in like a song that had a long like, you know, outro riff,
right.
And he just quickly walked off the stage. The band looked at him for a minute and then kept playing for, you know, 70 to 90 seconds. And then he came back. It's like, oh, he really had to pee. Anyway, Goo Goo Dolls concerts aside, Michael, I know the difference between Michael and Phenomenon now. Yay.
Long hair and short hair.
I feel like I probably saw this movie in the 90s, but if the truth were that I saw Phenomenon, I wouldn't be surprised.
There were moments when I was like, I have seen this before. However, they were few and far between. So let's do the plot recap before we get into the weeds on this movie.
That's a good idea.
Right. Jamie Walters was the guy in the Heights.
Thank you.
Well,
And it was not the same character in 90210, but it might have been.
If Bryan Adams ever wants to tour, but his voice isn't working and he needs the Ozzy Osbourne style, stand behind a tent and sing for me, then it can be that guy.
Jamie Walters is your guy.
Here's Camila Adams with a 60-second recap of the drama Michael. Robin, are you timing?
Oh
my God.
I have a little cut on my wrist, so I have been wearing my watch. It's really messing up like my whole life.
Everything has gone to shit.
Yeah. Okay. And go.
After receiving a letter from Edith Bunker, who has an angel living with her, a team of tabloid journalists travel out to Iowa to meet them. They meet Michael, a dirty, sugar-loving, chain-smoking, suffers-no-fools archangel. Clearly, there is some skepticism. Michael and Edith became friends over a smoted bank, but poor Edith dies while making them all breakfast. The team needs to take Michael back to Chicago for their story, but Michael won't fly, and he wants to see the world's largest ball of twine, so road trip. This road trip is full of bullfighting, barroom romancing and brawling, criminal charges, pie binging, and Annie McDowell singing a song that makes William Hurt fall in love with her. Shortly after, she gets their dog Sparky killed. Also, Michael can waste a miracle by bringing the dog back to life. They get Michael to the Sears Tower right before he dies or whatever. William quits his job, breaks up with Andy, and loses faith or something. After some time, William and Andy literally run into each other, and he asks her to marry him, and I hate myself for not using my veto.
What was the time on that?
That was 56 seconds, including me laughing.
I mean, like, I feel like there are movies that a veto would be better spent on, but no part of me is happy that I spent part of my week on this.
Right, or $3.
Yeah, not worth
it. Comcast was charging $4 for it, and I was like, oh no. And Vudu was charging $3. So.
Like, even some of our other bad movies, like, this is a divergent level of, like, why did I have to do that? Like, even I hated Oh God, You Devil, but, like, part of me is like, well, it's interesting that I've seen that and know what that's about. I don't have that at all with Michael.
Not at all.
It's I feel like I remember more about Oh God, You Devil, which we watched 6 months ago, than I do about Michael, which I watched less than 24 hours ago.
I'm glad you did that recap, because that 60 seconds caused me to do more thinking about Michael than I did while watching Michael. And immediately I was like, man, did this movie not spend much time on lots of things central to it. Like,
he didn't have to be an angel.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the movie wrapped around this dog, and it was an hour in before I realized I didn't know why there was a dog.
I didn't either.
Okay, so
I missed that part, like, I guess, at the beginning.
So let's examine. This movie is built around something which, as far as I know, does not exist anymore, which is the supermarket tabloid.
I think it still exists.
Not like the paper. Clear, like, there's like Us Weekly and that kind of thing, but there's not like a weekly world news, you know,
so, right,
Bat Boy
so
found.
I still see the ones where there's always some celebrity close to death.
Right,
okay?
Right. Yeah.
But this is about Bat Boy.
Right.
And in this case, an angel. Like, it's about like weird news of the weird tabloid. Does that exist?
I guess not. I mean, I don't think so. I thought that maybe they're all online now.
Maybe
they're all websites. It's called Facebook.
I feel like I would have a subscription. I feel like at around age 26, I would have been like, no, I'm subscribing to the Weekly World News.
Did you ever pick one? Like, did you ever have one around or like actually look in one or anything?
I have a clear memory of picking one up and reading it in the car and then having to like cut myself off because my younger brother was there and I realized that half of the stories are dirty.
Oh,
in Weekly World News. Weekly World News was actively like a comedy publication. Like, there was no part of Weekly World News that was like, no, we're trying to sell that Bat Boy really lives.
Gotcha.
Like, but there were others that were towing that line a little bit more, that were like, a woman went to heaven and met Jesus. This is her true story.
Heaven is for real.
Yeah.
Final issue of Weekly World News, August 27th, 2007.
Not that long ago.
Yeah.
That's a shame. But so the dog became like the mascot of this paper.
Correct.
I'm assuming they had a big story about him. And
so in the beginning, they show photographs of the dog with various tabloid celebrities of the time, like
I know
Princess
Edith was
Diana,
a big fan.
Right? So the dog.
Oh, that's who was in the pictures, because I saw them. I saw them scan through the photos. I'm like, what does this mean? But I missed that the dog was in every photo.
So the dog's in every photo. So the dog is like the property.
Uh huh.
Hence, so it's in a way the MacGuffin, but it's so stupid. And
it's
you
real
forget
dumb.
The dog's there for long stretches.
Right.
And long stretches.
And like, they could get another dog. Like, it's not, it's right. not like it's a three-legged blue dog with 8 ears. Like, you could get four of those by dinner. And the whole movie is wrapped around, if they don't get a true angel story, they're going to be fired, but they can't really fire. And Bob Hoskins get to keep the right. dog. Like, he can get another dog that doesn't want to kill him. Like,
yeah.
And from your recap, this whole, like, runner where Michael wants to go to tourist attractions.
Why?
Can we talk about how Iowa is next to Illinois? And if you're in the
takes them 4 days
corner of Iowa, I looked it up.
Okay.
If you are as far in Iowa as I could, like, zoom in on Google Maps on my phone and drive to Chicago, it takes less than 9 hours.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Well, they're taking the back roads, so it would take a good 10 and a half.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so I guess there's some numbers that are involved.
Yeah, let's explain. If you haven't seen Michael and you're listening,
please don't.
One, don't listen. Don't watch Michael. Well, listen,
no,
please.
Please listen.
Don't watch Michael. But if you think there's a point at which you're going to understand what happens in Michael based on this podcast, you're not.
Nope.
Because we barely do.
Yeah.
Why do they never... There's no skepticism at any point. No, they meet Michael. He's like, please don't look at my wings. And they're like, okay, fine. And he's just legit.
I mean, Andy, I thought she had kind of was kind of like, no, he's not an angel. Angels are blonde.
Right. Her skepticism is like, there are angels. That's just not one.
Right. They say that multiple times. Who thinks angels are blonde?
I don't think angels are blonde.
No idea. I've never heard that again.
That's not part of our culture in any way.
Well, and then we'll let you get to the numbers.
Yeah.
But like, I had made note of Bob Hoskins in the very beginning of the movie. He's like, Americans want to see pictures of Americans.
Oh, gross.
So,
yeah.
Bob Hoskins, very British.
Yes.
And yet underused in this film. Anyway. Michael, it came out Christmas Day, 1996. Is this a Christmas movie?
There is. It
started off as such.
Contains quite a bit of Christmas content.
And takes place at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might be a Christmas movie.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, it's less Christmassy than While You Were Sleeping.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, it definitely is.
And less Christmassy than Die Hard, the prime example of not really a Christmas movie,
less
according
Christmassy
to the haters.
Less Christmassy than Go.
Yeah, this is probably not a Christmas movie,
yeah.
Even though it actually came out on Christmas and was set as Christmas. This thus making the argument that it's whatever you want it to be.
Yep.
It was the 36th and final number one movie of the year. Won the weekend with $17.4 million ahead of the third weekend of Jerry Maguire and the fifth weekend of 101 Dalmatians.
Can we just take a quick moment and talk about what's up with romantic leads named Dorothy in 1996? Mm-hmm. Also, Renee Zellweger and Jerry Maguire.
Who's Dorothy?
Oh, Annie McDowell was named Dorothy?
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't catch her name
at
all.
Yeah, I didn't catch anybody's name.
The only other new release that weekend was The Evening Star, the poorly received sequel to 1983's Terms of Endearment. It debuted in 10th with $3.3 million.
Recent episode of this had Oscar buzz.
Yeah, I remember being 11 and... watching the commercials for The Evening Star and thinking, that looks like some dumb bullshit. Like, that was already like, what are you doing? Michael won a second weekend. It was a two-week winner. Won the second weekend with $12.1 million, beating Jerry Maguire by less than $100,000. It fell to third in its third weekend behind The Relic and the expansion of Evita. It finished with $95.3 million, the 16th highest grossing film of 1996, one spot behind Hunchback of Notre Dame, one spot ahead of Star Trek First Contact, and two spots ahead of Space Jam. This was a bigger hit than Space Jam. Nora Ephron, Michael, is her third highest grossing movie. The one and two are very obvious. Anybody?
You've got mail?
And not While You're Sleeping. Sleepless in Seattle.
Each of you said one.
While You Were Sleepless in Seattle.
While You Were Sleepless in Seattle from 1993 was her top grossing, $126.8 million. You've Got Mail was second, $115.8 million. Michael was in third. Nothing else was a particularly big hit, except for Julie and Julia, her final film in 2009. Which made a little more than 94. This has nothing to do with anything, but Nora Ephron knew who Watergate whistleblower Deep Throat was pretty much the whole time.
Why?
She was married to Bernstein, Carl Bernstein.
I did not know this.
She was married to the Watergate investigative journalist.
Is that Dustin Hoffman or Robert Redford?
I think it's Dustin
Probably
Hoffman.
Probably Dustin Hoffman. It's hard to imagine Robert Redford plays the winning Bernstein.
Yeah, that seems like that would have been very confusing casting. But she saw his notes at the time, saw notes marked MF, and went, oh, so it's that Mark Felt guy my husband knows, and says that she said publicly hundreds of times, like, wow, like in speaking engagements, was like, Deep Throat is Mark Felt, and no one ever believed her but her children.
Because she's a woman.
Also, part of it, I think, is that people wanted Deep Throat to be someone way more interesting than Mark Felt.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, okay, boring.
Apparently she asked the other one, Woodward, does MF stand for Mark Felt? And he was like, no, that stands for my friend. And that was the official story. What else? John Travolta has been in a ton of movies.
Yes, he has. He sure has.
He was in 9 movies between 1996 and 1998.
Holy shit.
Well, this was right after
Pulp Fiction.
It was 2 years after Pulp Fiction.
He had 2 times, right? Mm-hmm. He had the late 70s and this.
Yeah.
In that basically 2.5 year period, Michael, $95 million, Phenomenon, $104 million, Broken Arrow, 70, Face Off, $112 million.
I can't wait to finally pull that.
As well as Mad City, She's So Lovely, A Civil Action, The Thin Red Line, and Primary Colors, all in about 2.5 years. He has also made 5 movies in the past 2 years.
Has he?
Yes.
Do those exist?
The lowest grossing of those 8 movies or 9 movies in the mid-90s, the lowest grossing was She's So Lovely. It made $7.2 million. That is significantly more than his last 5 movies have made combined.
Wow.
And when I say his last 5 movies, I basically mean Gotti, which was a notorious bomb, but made $4.3 million.
I don't remember. That was in the theater?
Yes, Gotti? Briefly.
Huh.
That was followed by Trading Paint, which made...
Never even heard of it.
Nothing.
Trading Paint.
The Poison Rose, which made nothing. Morgan Freeman was also in The Poison
Didn't
Rose.
Didn't that get renamed to something
it
else?
It may have. But whatever it was, okay, it made no money. Speed Kills, which made nothing. And Fanatic, directed by Fred Durst, which made $3,000. It was actually released, like a small, but not like 2 theaters. It was in about 60, 80 theaters, and it made a total of $3,000.
Wow.
Those are his last 5 movies. So don't let the Scientologists tell you they'll help your career.
Right, exactly, because apparently there's a limit.
There's a steep drop-off.
Yeah.
Whatever I read said he hasn't been in a profitable movie since Hairspray, which was like 2008, maybe?
Really?
Also, a recent episode of this had Oscar buzz.
He was good on one of the... Which American Crime Story was he in? He was in OJ.
American Crime? Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was good in that.
And he was good in that, but like...
He's a good actor. He's one of those people who, like, I don't know if it's Scientology messing him up or what. Like, he just... Sometimes he's on, and sometimes he's off. And when he's off, he's really off.
It's Adele Dazeem. And finally, Phenomenon. The movie that we and everyone else confuses Michael with, released in the same year, another 1996 supernatural drama starring John Travolta, was directed by John Turteltaub. He plays a guy who sees a weird light in the sky and then develops psychic powers. It was not a number one movie in America. It debuted in third, the same week that Independence Day came out, and finished behind Independence Day in the second weekend of The Nutty Professor. It did go on to outgross Michael. It made a little bit more, but it is not on our list. It was not a number one movie in America. That is the movie that the Eric Clapton song is from, not this one.
This one has a completely forgettable Randy Newman song.
Oh my God.
My first note is...
It's intrusive as hell.
Thanks to Randy Newman for quickly shitting out a song that has nothing to do with the plot other than vague heaven references.
Okay, but what would the song that has to do with the plot be? I guess maybe what Andy McDowell ends up singing.
Probably. He was a chain-smoking, dirty angel. wasn't Bolt profitable? He was the voice in Bolt. All right,
Bolt is a long time ago.
It was right after Hairspray, though.
Okay. Well, maybe it was one of those animated movies that somehow cost $120 million and made $90 million or whatever.
I have several things to say about Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Do ya now?
Now, one thing that I will say is that it just felt slightly off at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it things when the woman dies in the very beginning, first of all, who orders their eggs poached
at somebody's house?
That's right. Such a rude fucking thing to do, Eldon from Murphy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's okay.
So there's that. And then they show her breaking eggs and coughing, and then they cut to her funeral.
Two out of three 2020 number one movie in America's have featured a very sudden funeral.
Yes. This one does follow the rules of cinema, though.
Right. It is that person.
It's her funeral that it's cut that we cut to.
That was the first moment where I was like, this doesn't feel right. And then the next one, which I will never get over, is when they're at another diner. They spend so much time in diners in this movie. Arguing about how one eats a lemon.
Yeah. I don't understand what the
eats a lemon.
And they're eating oranges.
Are they?
Look
they?
At the scene. They have orange because they're
no
peeling
one eats
them.
A lemon.
And then what? They said with salt. With salt.
Well, yeah, I actually used to eat lemons when I was little. With
all right. Wait, then clear this up.
Is this a thing?
I don't know if it's a thing, but I know that I think I started it when I found out that I liked the taste of lemon with my tea. So I would eat, you know, my mom would make me tea and squeeze it. And then with the lemon wedge, I would eat the rest of the lemon wedge. And so after that, I would cut a lemon. I would squeeze it underwater. And then so to get some of the juice out.
Okay.
And then like salt it and eat it.
So Camila could be part of that weird conversation.
Yes, but I liked Michael's answer to it. Was like, you squeeze in water, put some sugar in it. No, that's how you eat a lemon, is lemonade.
Some sugar.
Yeah.
In air quotes.
Did they ever explain why he's always eating sugar?
No.
Did they get to that?
So. No. Did they explain anything? No.
Like,
no.
I want to know, was he actually banging these broads?
And do
oh,
they
Oh, he
consent?
Banged Joey Lauren Adams.
Did he bang Judge Terry Garr?
Right.
Ambiguous.
I assume so.
And also, is he like bewitching these people with his angel powers? What's the consent
it's
scenario
supposed to
here?
Be I think it's supposed to be like just a thing that he's the archangel of not the archangel, but he's the patron saint of chivalry.
Okay.
Michael is in theology.
I mean,
but so I think that was probably supposed to be a nod to it. And so but what's her face? Andy was like, I don't find him that attractive. And
right.
He said he had a block on her. So maybe it's just
natural
thing that's supposed to happen with him.
So this brings us to my top three dumb bullshit scenes in the movie, Michael. Number three, this movie kills a dog. Really?
Yeah.
Like, and
I
know
it counts as yes on does the dog die?
Yeah.
I checked.
Yeah.
Because the dog literally, the fact that the dog comes back does not mean the dog did not die.
Right.
A dog dies in this movie. And again, killing dogs and children in movies is supposed to be like this third rail that you only touch if you really, really need to for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. Not like proving the angel we already believe is an angel is an angel.
Right. This did nothing to further the plot. What a waste of a miracle. Like, he spends the whole movie talking about how that's not his thing. He doesn't do this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll bring your dog back to life.
And then he dies, and that's supposed to be his final trip to Earth, but he's back a week later.
And is Edith now an angel?
I don't know
what she
maybe
is.
Or is she a ghost?
Maybe it's just a soul. Just her soul.
Okay.
That
is Edith her name?
No.
Egg cracking dead lady?
I don't remember her name.
Number two on the list of top three dumb bullshit scenes in Michael. Poorly edited bull charging battle? What the shit was that? He sees a cow and says battle, and then they run into each other with their heads, and they're both a little loopy, but neither one are injured, and the cow is sitting. Cows don't sit.
They do if they get bonked in the head by an angel.
What was that scene?
It was... I don't know.
So
I got nothing.
Everything in this movie is that sigh noise you just made.
Another one of my notes literally just reads, I took the time to write down what was the idea here even? Why is this all happening? Like, I had to note that because that's all my brain was doing.
The whole course of the film?
The whole course of the film.
So at one point he says, how do you give a man back his heart? And so it's like, was he on a mission from God to make William Hurt fall in love with Andy McDowell?
Why is he so important? Like, why does God give a shit
about William Hurt?
Right.
And Andy McDowell is the one with like a bad love backstory.
Right.
Not William Hurt.
I,
I also was sure that William Hurt and Eldon from Murphy Brown were a couple at the top of the movie.
Oh, really?
Because they were like, he's like, he says, you know, you're my better half at some point. He's he's like, together we're one person is what he says. And then he like does this like shoulder squeeze. And mm-hmm. I just was like, oh, this is kind of progressive for 1996. And then like three scenes later, because I thought Annie McDowell and Michael would fall in love. And I've allegedly seen this movie before. But then like three scenes later, the other guy was like, oh, my wife.
Yeah, yeah. This is for a movie about angels. This is the most mundane fucking thing. Like nothing happens. Like I don't like who, why? Like none of, there was nothing. It was nothing about angels. It was about angels, but it was not about angels.
And to your point, number one on my list is a Dancing Angel reverse gangbang. What are we trying? Like this,
John Travolta needs to dance in every movie.
I was saying, where would John Travolta be without weird stone-faced dancing?
In my notes, it says, of course there's a dancing. Of course.
But what is this whole runner where he maybe just makes ladies happy, but probably bangs them a lot? Like, what it would have is been more, that doing here?
I don't know. It would have been more interesting to me if it was just like, he just kind of gives them a sense of happiness. Don't allude to the fact that he's going off and banging them.
Right.
Just mm-hmm. like, you know, his presence there is just like, oh my God, I'm so happy.
He smells like cookies.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah, or yeah.
That's a funny bit.
And couldn't we, and it wasn't even just cookies. I think like everybody had something slightly different.
Oh, he just smells good to everyone, whatever that is.
Yeah, before the reverse gangbang started, they all said the things they thought he smelled like, and it was all a nice childhood smell.
And I thought it was going to, I thought that was going to go somewhere mm-hmm. important mm-hmm. because old Andy couldn't get off the fucking thing about, you got something baking, then I want that. And it just never went anywhere.
Also, all those women had the same haircut.
Yes.
They all have the short hair that's like weirdly tall on top.
Yo,
reverse mullet.
This is the whitest movie we've reviewed.
This was a...
And I don't just mean this in the fact that there were no people of color in it. I mean the fact that this is just some old, like, middle fucking America bullshit.
This is probably... This movie
Hellman's on Wonder Bread. I just can't...
It's probably big in Iowa. They're probably like, yeah, that's what we're all about.
Yes.
I've been to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Iowa's better than this.
That's right, Iowa.
You're better than
you
this.
You deserve more. Anyway.
Another little sidebar here. The guy from Murphy Brown, mm-hmm. Robert Pastorelli, mm-hmm. I believe.
May
his
he
name.
Rest in peace.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he died young.
Oh, wow. Well, I shouldn't talk bad about him.
No, please
do. But it's just... He shouldn't talk with his mouth full. So there's been another... That is the most disgusting thing I've seen in a long time. And until the last time I saw him talk with his mouth full in a movie, which was Be Cool, which he was in with John Travolta again. And he's like talking, but his character is pretty great because he's like pretty much like shitting on Vince Vaughn's character. But he's
Be
like...
Be Cool's the Get Shorty sequel.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he's like talking with a mouthful of coleslaw and it's just like...
Ew.
That's the most disgusting thing ever. But yeah, I just wanted to point out that Robert and John were in another movie again together.
I also had a little bit of face blindness with him where every single time he was on screen, it took me a moment to realize it was not Oliver Pratt.
That's that very fair. Yeah. Oliver Pratt would have been better. I mean, no disrespect to this guy. Yeah, I already forgot his name, but
Robert Pastorelli.
Robert Pastorelli.
Also in Striking Distance.
Yeah.
Oh.
May he rest in peace. May Nora Ephron rest in peace.
Yes.
I really was embarrassed to not know she was dead until I started doing this research.
Oh, shame.
And I had that sad moment of like, I wonder why she hasn't made anything lately.
Right.
Oh.
There's not a lot of
That's
film.
A shame.
Not a lot of directing opportunities in the afterlife.
Yeah. So she went out with Julia, which was Oscar nominated and people liked it. I don't think
it.
I saw it, but
I liked it.
Good for
it's
her.
It's pretty good. The Julia parts are so much better than the Julie parts that it mm-hmm. kind of tanks the movie.
Right.
The closest thing I came to a moment where I was able to describe what it mentally what is happening in Michael is this is the movie Twister if you replaced the tornadoes with empty schmaltz. If every time it's just there's some people in the Midwest, they're driving around. They're eating often. There's some folksy stuff. There is a romance that makes no sense, even in context. In Twister, there are tornadoes. In this, there are things that are supposed to be heartwarming, but not.
I'm going to quickly disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Your summary is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
When William Hurt and Annie McDowell have sex, that makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me that they had sex.
Correct. It does not make sense that they fall in love and get married, right. Question mark?
And exactly. Repeating our while you were sleeping, you can end with the movie with them getting together, not getting engaged right. immediately.
Right. It's okay. It's fine. We'll totally believe that they want to just hang out, get to know each other.
Yeah. They go out to dinner and see a show. Right. That's fine.
Maybe have a lovely 2-year relationship right. where no marriage is involved or spoken of.
Right. Just... But I do think that's like one of the better scenes in the movie where like they kiss each other and kind of have this moment of like, are we doing this? We're doing this. All right. Whose hotel room are we going to?
Like, well, that was nice.
It felt very real. So I don't think it makes as little sense as the romance in Twister.
Yes. Yes. That
I also hate the movie Twister.
Twister really? Is bad. Like people, like I think of it and I want to like it because the supporting cast is really good.
They are.
Philip Seymour Hoffman and Alan Ruck and Cary Elwes, like that is a really good supporting cast. There's that scene where they're watching The Shining at the drive-thru and a tornado goes through the screen. And the scene where they eat at the aunt's house is really good. And sometimes the Twister scenes are fun. Mm. But like everything in Twister that isn't those items or a tornado is terrible.
There's also a, in air quotes, character named Dorothy.
Oh, jeez.
Their little device. 1996, the year of Dorothy.
Oh, God.
It's you keep mentioning Dorothy, and this is my level of Twin Peaks fandom. I don't know if you were aware that recently some YouTube channel released a 4.5-hour long explainer video of what's going on in Twin Peaks.
Oh, boy.
What?
Obviously, I've watched the whole thing.
Clearly.
It's one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm sure some of what you're saying is right. Anything you're saying could be right, but there's no way that everything you're saying is right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things it doesn't address is that there's this whole thing around the name Dorothy, and clearly David Lynch is obsessed with Wizard of Oz and is playing with that, and it just never brings it up at all, and I'm still mad about that. But this is all a segue to say, we'll get to it and You Can't Handle the Truth, but man, am I in love with his 17-minute monkey video that's on Netflix now. Anyway, it's so...
It's well worth your time.
It's so great. Anyway...
I mean, couldn't we have spent some time with some people who actually needed an angel? Like...
In yes. Michael? Yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, these people, none of them had any real problems, and... They don't have anything
even remotely approaching a problem.
It's just a waste of an angel's dialogue. I
fully agree with you that if he's like, I get one more miracle right. and he saves this stupid dog.
You couldn't think of anything else but that maybe could have helped.
Not my department.
But canonically, that was a sub-miracle. Right? Like that was a miracle in service of the real miracle, which was getting these two people together.
Would that have really... I don't think it would have mattered.
But no, he says to God or, you know, angel boss or whoever he's talking to, like, this is a tough assignment, giving a guy his heart back. So, like, he's there to hook these two up.
This movie.
It would have been better. Yeah. It would have been better if Andy had gotten hit by a car and he brought her back to life.
Yeah. Well,
and that would have made more sense to me to get William his heart back.
Literally no people in this movie are likable.
No.
Like Andy McDowell comes the closest, but yeah. I'm still like, I'm not like invested in you.
And she's still Andy McDowell. So there's always that little bit of a really like, barrier.
That said, I am pitching Andy McDowell Talks to Dogs to Disney+. That was a lovely scene. And I would watch it all day.
Also great foreshadowing.
Yes, absolutely. But
I did enjoy that her little hobby was writing country western songs. Or was it just titles of country western songs?
No, she wrote that song.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have liked it more if it was just titles.
That's a very funny hobby.
I have a whole notebook. It just says, don't ginger the ale of my heart. I looked at what you're drinking. Anyway.
That's pretty good off the cuff.
Yeah. Should we keep talking about this?
No.
I think this dog is dead.
as that dog should have stayed. This movie is, that's the weird thing. It's not terrible.
Right.
Because Nora Ephron is a very good director. And the cast, while their characters are bullshit, the cast is all good people. So it, like, has, its basement can only be so low.
Right.
But it's just so weird that it gets as bad as it can.
Exactly.
Right?
I do want to say on microphone, I love William Hurt.
Really? Okay.
And exactly. Every time I see a movie with him, I'm like, this guy, why do I find, he seems, like you said, this is the whitest movie we've watched. He seems like the whitest actor.
Yeah.
Period.
Absolutely.
I am a white lady. I don't know. I find him so charming.
Interesting.
Yeah. Love him. Also, apparently he sounds like a really good dude. Like there's, he's one of those people who when stories about him come up on Twitter, it's always like him being a nice, good, solid person.
I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how many William Hurt points Robin gives Michael. I'll give my score first. 37.
Ooh, like, oh, wow. That's. I mean, I feel like I'm being generous and I'm lower than that. I'm going to go 34.
Shit. Oh. I'm like super generous. And this is just kind of based upon the ratings of other movies that I've done that we've already done. Now, I started at 65.
Oh, wow.
I know. But then I hit the last 45 minutes of the movie, and then it kind of ticked down.
It definitely goes down.
Right, exactly.
Or wears out its welcome or something.
To 50.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this is slightly better than While You Were Sleeping. That's how I got here.
Wow. I found this significantly worse than While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, absolutely.
The final score is a 40. 40 and a third. That is very low on our list, but it's above a lot of movies. We like this more than Maximum Risk and Private Parts and Oh God, You Devil and Invasion USA. This is in the bad half, but it could be a lot worse. So, but to be clear, don't watch it. Like if you're not watching along with us and you haven't watched this yet and you're going, I want to see what it's nope.
Is this what I'm thinking of? Right. You're thinking of Phenomenon.
Yeah.
So we have a new segment.
We have a new segment. Camila, take us through it.
I decided to make bingo cards. This thought came to me because I was bored while watching Michael. And so, you know, the mind wanders. So I have made a number one movie in America bingo card for us to play. And you can play at home as well if you'd like. I will go ahead and post the link to the bingo cards on our Twitter account. And on this bingo card includes things such as, you know, does the movie pass the Bechdel test? Is it, you know, is it an 80s movie? Is there a white savior? And of course, we have a Tony Goldwyn square, which I wanted it to be the free space, but the program that I used would not allow me to change the name of that. So we'll post it on Twitter. We'll play along. It's starting today with Michael.
And we're going to see which one of us hits bingo first.
Yes.
And which point a new
card
will be awarded.
Exactly.
Is there a prize?
Yeah, should there be a small prize? We can think about it.
No. What if the prize is you get to pick a movie?
I don't want to open up that can.
That could really endanger.
Extra veto.
I think extra veto is worth it.
Okay. Extra veto for the first person who hits bingo.
All right, great. So, yeah, and whenever somebody hits bingo, and if you hit bingo at home, I'm sorry, we don't have anything to give to you, but
our love.
Our love and respect and and bragging rights and take a picture and tag us on Twitter.
If you want like a weird poster or coffee table book for any one of 50 movies that had briefly had Oscar buzz, man, am I happy to get rid of those.
That's awesome. I probably have some bingo, random swag too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah.
So what does this, clearly we have a square that says angels, clearly. Mm-hmm. We have a square that says zero people of color.
Yep,
definitely.
Yep.
Is this a white savior movie?
No, because there's no people of color.
That's true. That's true.
If you're not approaching the trope.
Yeah, if I mean it very literally.
But we're not.
Does it fail the Bechdel test?
It passes the Bechdel test on the basis of the person who got the bank smited for her and Andy McDowell like talking about the house and eggs.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
All right. That barely passes.
Right. I mean, most movies that pass the Bechdel test barely pass.
Right.
So we should mark passes on our score sheets.
Oh, shit.
Okay. What about, is there anything else? I hope this isn't based on a true story.
Right.
It's arguably character learns the error of their ways, but I disagree.
Did anyone?
I don't think so.
Like, William Hurt was a little more of a jerk at the beginning of the movie than he was at the end. But
barely. Hence this movie being...
I don't think that counts.
All right.
Worthless.
All right, so we got 3.
So it is impossible to get bingo.
We have, it passes the Bechdel. No, but this is cumulative.
Right, but I'm close.
Oh!
You're going to save this card.
Yes, until the next time. We're going to keep going.
I thought you had to get bingo for a single film.
No. We're going until somebody
hits.
Oh,
that's exciting. Well, I got nothing. So Camille is close. That's exciting.
I just need heist and gambling.
Ooh.
Oh man, if there are if we land on one of the Ocean's movies.
Right, exactly. I'm
you're clearing
three
it
more.
Next episode. That is the update on the bingo sheet. Play along. Go to at number one movie pod on Twitter. Yes, one is the digit, not the word. But number is the word. It's more, I didn't realize it was that confusing when I registered the account. Sorry. We retweet it all the time. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. I'm just giving my whole time to What Did Jack Do by David Lynch. If you're unaware of this,
I'm unaware.
Yesterday, as we're recording this, on David Lynch's 74th birthday, with absolutely no promotion, a 17-minute short film by David Lynch appeared on Netflix. It is his first widely available film work since Twin Peaks The Return, and it is a 17-minute short where he interrogates a small monkey that may have committed a murder.
It's so good.
It's great.
I'm in.
He just sits down and the
tell me more.
Like they start arguing, like with a lot of specificity, and sometimes it's absurd, but really it's just an interrogation.
Wait, so does the monkey speak?
Yes,
or?
Okay. In a human voice.
Okay. And who is the voice of the monkey?
Uncredited, which probably means also David Lynch.
Okay.
And he has the Conan O'Brien mouth, the like moving mouth,
yeah,
still like on monkey face from Conan in the 90s. And then the whole time you're like, this is absurd, but I love it. And then when the monkey gets to sing a song, oh it passes God. Into brilliance.
Oh my God.
Also, I don't think you need to be a David Lynch person to enjoy it.
No.
It's just enjoyable on its merits.
I mean, if you speak that language, you're going to enjoy it more, but yes, like you're going to have 20 minutes that you want to give over to this small monkey, credited as Jack Cruz playing himself.
Lovely. Lovely.
When he runs after the chicken. Oh my God. It's so good. That's all I want to endorse right now. Just this episode will be over in the next 15 minutes. Make that the next thing you do. As long as you're not in the car, but kind of if you're in the car, like you can multitask. I'm going to go to Camila because Robin has a lot to say about a lot of things.
I'm coming in hot.
Yeah. Okay. So I finally saw Ready or Not.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really enjoyed that movie.
I don't know why more people aren't talking about it.
It's like got the perfect amount of dark humor.
How gross is it?
It's not too bad. Like, okay, maybe towards the end, it's a little gross.
But mostly silly gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I should watch it.
It has a few cringy moments and then gets like over the top gross at the end.
It's
like,
not
I think
like
you
hostile
can take
gross.
It.
Okay. It's, yeah.
Also, usually when it's over the top or if it's a lighthearted movie, I can kind of switch into that mode.
I mean, it's not necessarily a lighthearted movie, but it's
more lighthearted than hostile.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And starring Andy McDowell.
Yeah. Well, so I had an Andy McDowell double feature this weekend, mm-hmm, which was pretty. Her forehead is ginormous, which I didn't notice in Michael as much as I noticed.
Well, it's because the curls were so busy.
Yeah.
She had this very attention grabbing curly hair and that's all you were looking at.
Yeah. So I would highly suggest you watch Ready or Not, given the opportunity.
Definitely horror fans, but really anybody. It's just an interesting, different offbeat. It's like Blumhouse releases four of these a year, like Truth or Dare and Happy Death Day. Like, mm-hmm, a concept.
I was surprised how much I liked Happy Death Day.
Yeah,
Happy
they're
Death
pretty
Day
good.
Is great. Happy Death Day to You is a load of garbage. I'm sorry,
oh, no,
Colin.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Okay.
I think both of
them oversold it to me. He was like, it's better than Happy Death Day.
That's not
no,
true.
No, it's
and
not.
And I also watched them like back to back. It does not hold up to that.
If you haven't seen Happy Death Day to You, and we know you haven't, like, instead of being like, you know, Happy Death Day is Groundhog Day with murder, and instead of just, like, repeating the concept, they're like, also time travel and go hard with
it. Yes.
And that's a kooky enough idea that I'm like, yeah, sure.
Usually I hate time travel movies. Anything time travel involved, I'm like, fuck it. You're not going to do it right. I overthink it, and I just can't.
But there are a lot of these one-concept horror movies out every year, and Truth or Dare is kind of like the best version of that.
Wait, you mean Ready or Not?
I mean Ready or Not.
Yeah. Truth, or
Truth or Dare was not good.
No, it was not.
Yeah. Anyway, Robin's
Robin.
Got takes.
I've got takes. So the Oscar nominations occurred, and...
Oh, woof.
Good Lord. I
had already purged this stress, Robin.
What is there to say other than they're bad? It's bad.
Dude.
Joker got the most nominations, and even Camila, who liked Joker, I think
I'm just like,
probably.
No. It's like, nah, man. Yeah. No. I'm not buying any of this bullshit. I quit. I gave up on the Oscars years ago, even before, like, you know, Oscars so white and all that stuff. I was like, I can't do this anymore with you people. I don't believe in any of it. I'm not going to sit and watch 5 hours of, you know, Hollywood jacking each other off.
Right.
About how brilliant fucking some two popes is.
And as and
two
as
popes is pretty good.
And as someone who is very invested in movie awards, likes the Oscars, and wants people to care about the Oscars because I love talking about the Oscars, I can't even really muster the strength to argue because the nominations are so bad.
Correct.
This is one of the most disappointing ever. Not for me, not only because of how uninspired and normative, put any prefix in front of normative you want, they're just not that interesting. Like, what passes for like a surprise is like, oh, The Lighthouse, a critically acclaimed movie from a darling studio, snuck in one below the line nomination.
Right.
And that counts as like the surprise of the season.
Right.
It's bafflingly uninteresting. I can only assume that all of their 700-year-old members just aren't watching that many movies and just vote for everything they saw, which was 12 movies.
Right. Well, this was an unusually homogenous field. Joe Reed did an article where he talked about, like, even in the below-the-line categories, the vast bulk of the nominations come from Best Picture nominees.
Yes.
So it's like, you don't have to see that many movies to complete. I'm going to win this year's Oscars death race unless something terrible happens. And I'm bored by that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a sad state of affairs.
I was closer than you were and didn't bother. Like, part of that is I'm going on vacation. But, like, you know, there's no joy in being like, I watched every nominee for the 2020 Oscars because, yeah, they kind of suck.
I mean, I'm going to do it.
Robin and I are tied with one completed death race apiece.
Oh, wow.
Same one, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait, do you only have one more to watch, both of you?
So the death race for our new listeners is when you watch every nominated film. Yes, every nominated film, including the Best Original Song nominees. So I watched the Church Bus movie Breakthrough and the shorts. So that is how you win the death race. It is hard to do.
It's very, I mean, it's usually the case is unless you live in New York or LA, there are movies that are simply unavailable to you before Oscar night, which was that 2018 that we both did it? It was Wonder Woman.
It was 2017.
Robin and I both watched everything nominated in 2017. That's the only time either of us have done it.
And the only reason we were able to do it is because Sean had a screener link for Faces Places.
Yes.
And so we were able. And then this year, Corpus Christi is not released in the U.S. until February 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Screener privilege.
Yeah.
I'm winning the Oscars death race.
And I'm going to be happy to let you go ahead of me on this tally because I'm like,
what are you not watching?
Well, I'm not watching things that I am interested in. Like, there's two or three foreign language best international film nominees that I would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to see Honeyland. I would like to see Corpus Christi. I don't want to watch Breakthrough. But I think
it is completely fine for the trash that it is.
I think that's all it was.
If you accept what it is, it's not it's not poorly done.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right, right, right.
But it's a Church Bus movie.
I think all I was missing was Breakthrough and either documentary nominees, international nominees, and the shorts. But I was like, I'm just not putting the effort into it this year. I've already seen 142 movies from last year.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to watching a second Syria documentary this year. There's two of the five are about Syria.
Well, what have you watched that you want to comment on before we get out of here?
I just want to say that 1917
my
is
1917
boring.
Opinion. I was never bored.
I guess boring isn't the right word because it's a real-time thrill ride, right? So how bored can you be with some guy like outrunning being blown up? But the answer is, I guess, kind of.
Did you see it in the theater?
I sure did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And look, it's pretty, or like, it's
great,
not even
cinematography.
Pretty. It's more like impressive.
The production design is impressive.
Yes.
Everything is very thorough.
But I just didn't care.
I love
what is
it.
There to care about?
I care about these stakes devoid of their context. I care about, like, this guy has to do this thing right now, or else a lot of people are going to die.
Right.
And there's no, one of my favorite things is there's no, like, It doesn't cut to anything because the movie is in real time, more or less. But it's not like someone presents them with this information and then they think about it for a while. It's like you have to save an entire battalion. Start
go
walking.
Now, right?
And so then I'm just so on board. This is one of those where we just didn't. Yeah, it hit us differently.
I really liked it. I tweeted this. Okay, so this is a World War One movie that's like literally set in the trenches. Mm. So like, I feel, unlike in Dunkirk, where I was like, it's bullshit that there's barely any women in that movie.
Yeah, because it's in the towns. And,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. This is a movie where you could fully get away with there being no women in it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he stumbles upon a woman, and I literally whispered to Chad, is that a woman? And then a baby starts crying, and then he asks what gender the baby is. So that they could be like, oh, there's two women in our movie, but one of them's a baby.
It passes the Bechdel test.
Well, depending on what the baby was crying about.
I like that, who's in it late? Benedict Cumberbatch? Just was just a dick. Like, yeah. That's a real... First of all, he plays a dick really well. And second, like, that's the most, like, deliciously exasperating turn. Like, the guy made it. Oh, he might fail. I guess this is what... Did you think he wasn't going to make it? The guy made it. Now the hurdle is the general's a douche and doesn't want to hear from him. That's just such a... I liked it a lot.
Listen, it's very well made. It is what I think is going to win Best Picture. And anything that is not Joker that wins Best Picture, I appreciate its service to me.
I guess we're not going to go down the line on the nominees because we've been here for a while.
I guess not. Well,
they are what
I
you
mean,
think they are.
Well, listen, everybody knows who the four acting winners are going
to
be.
It is difficult to fathom anybody other than Renee Zellweger, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. And again, I like that performance, but it doesn't get a fucking Oscar.
It's gonna.
And in the supporting categories,
Laura Dern.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt. I keep forgetting that Brad Pitt's about to win an Oscar because I find it so boring.
He's supporting actor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little bit of category fraud too. Those are really co-leads, but because the movie is really well thought of and he's there, I will be stunned if anyone other than those four wins.
Sam Mendes is going to win Best Director.
I think probably.
I guess I'm glad Roger Deakins is going to get a second Oscar for a movie that is not a total abomination.
What is his first one for?
Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
2049.
I think
I don't like the original Blade Runner either.
I think there is a chance that Bong Joon-ho wins Best Director. That is the hope that I will carry into
that
Oscar
night.
That
would be great.
That would be really nice. He has won some awards. It's really well regarded. Parasite got many more nominations than I thought it would. That was like the only scrap of good news.
I'm really glad they got the production design nomination because they built that amazing house.
Yeah. I think there's a chance that Bong Joon-ho wins, and that is the thing that the Academy trots out to...
That would delight me.
Give their, like, look, we're not all bad. It's also entirely possible that Sam Mendes is going to win. I don't think that Tarantino is going to win unless this is a lifetime achievement win.
Because he's allegedly stopping after his next movie, but I will believe
he's
that when it happens.
Fucking liar.
Honestly, I'll believe that when he is dead.
Exactly.
Well, whether or not they think he's going to stop, no one thought Scorsese was going to stop, and The Departed was still like, yeah, sure, have this.
Well, what
one.
Else was going to win that year? My thing that I'm like holding out hope for is Greta Gerwig winning adapted screenplay.
I think she might. I mean, it's not, there's not a, you know, screenplay is kind of always a lot of people could win.
Right. Because that's also a category where they're like, sure, have this.
And if the voters have the shame that they should and respond to that by putting her name down for screenplay, then great. It's a brilliant work of adapting a screenplay.
Right. It honestly is the category it most deserves.
Right.
So it would be great. It would be really great for Greta Gerwig to walk away with an Oscar and Noah Baumbach to walk away with nothing. Because I guess Laura Dern's going to win. But I think that's all the Marriage Story is going to get. Sorry.
Marriage Story is easily my number one movie of the year and one of my top movies of the decade, and I won't be that jazzed if Laura Dern wins because, like, I love her, but, like, that's not the remarkable part of that movie. She did a normal, good Laura Dern job.
Yeah. Justice for Jennifer Lopez!
Yeah.
Oh, please.
I have, now that 1917 is cleaning up more, I think it certainly could win. I still think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to win.
That also, anything that isn't Joker that wins Best Picture, I'll be like, great, Ford v. Ferrari could win, and I'd be like, cool, tight.
I would be equally upset about Ford v. Ferrari as I would about Joker.
I think I enjoyed Ford v. Ferrari more than 1917. 1917 is a better movie by, like, several grades.
Yeah.
But I had a much better time watching Ford v. Ferrari.
I'm also openly acknowledging that the screening I saw of Ford v. Ferrari was delayed by about an hour and eight and 20 minutes.
That'll make you mad, especially because that movie is excessively long.
Yeah. So, like, I had already been sitting quietly in a theater for more than an hour for a 2.5 hour movie. Probably affected my opinion.
I also want to quickly acknowledge that Colin saw Little Women yesterday with his boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so cute. I like that Little Women is like making money.
It's gonna hit $100 million. Yeah. I went back and bought a ticket to see it a second time because I really, and it went up my list. If you saw the list I published on Pittsburgh Magazine, it was 7 or 8, and like it should have been higher than that. It's really, really well done. And should be nominated for way more Oscars, but...
I'm impressed it got a Best Picture nomination.
Yes.
Anyway, so the Oscars are baloney this year, but I'm going to win the death race. It is what it is. Both Klaus and Missing Link, both of which are on streaming.
Klaus I haven't seen.
Netflix, and Missing Link is on Hulu. Absolutely worth your time, both delightful. And Klaus in particular, a movie that I had not even heard of before the Oscar nominations were announced. That's why I do the death race, because it makes me watch movies like that, which end up delighting me.
That's great. Missing Link is hilarious.
Missing Link is very good.
Missing Link is laugh out loud funny. Well, Camila mentally left the room when Robin and I went deep on Oscar night.
Maybe after the Oscars we should record a bonus episode and spare Camila.
Yes. That's
That'd be totally cool.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go hang out with my daughter. Bye.
We can do that, but it has to be a quick turnaround because there is a 36-hour window of still giving a shit about the Oscars after the ceremony ends.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can do that. Maybe the local news will have me come in again.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that, on Pittsburgh Today or something?
No, last year I was at Robin's during the Oscars, and at 10:15 I left because WTAE said come in and do a live.
We don't have a chair for you, but please come stand here and talk about how much it sucks that Green Book won Best Picture.
I had to live react to the Oscars on the 11 o'clock news.
That's so
random, and it was
awesome.
Like, I was totally prepared for like a very like neutral, like talking about what Roma means to the you know, and what a surprise that Olivia Colman won. Nobody saw that coming.
Walked out the door and Olivia Colman won, and I like texted him like, Olivia Colman won!
Which still, like, that's interesting, but not at a level where anyone really cares.
Right.
And then I think the weather guy said, what do you want to win? And I just said, anything but Green Book. And they announced Green Book. And so then me on the news is just like, yep, worst Best Picture winner ever. This is ridiculous. I don't understand the Oscars anymore. Thanks.
If Joker wins, God forbid, better or worse than Green Book winning in your book? I mean, I know where I stand on that subject.
That is tough. They're very similar in that my opinion on both of them was, this movie is fine. There are some good things about it. It's just absolutely not remarkable or deserving of any awards. Mm. That's how I felt about Joker and Green Book. And they have kind of equally weighted problematic things, with Green Book being a white savior movie and Joker being like...
He saves shit, by the way.
Right. And Joker being, you know, a nihilistic, negative view of society.
Green Book has him folding in half the entire pizza. That is its contribution to cinema.
I think Joker is a slightly better movie than Green Book.
I truly cannot interrogate that comment. I think that Green Book is a more acceptable Best Picture winner, despite it being terrible, than Joker as a Best Picture winner.
Yes.
I truly cannot evaluate which one is a better film.
Green Book feels like a dumb Best Picture winner.
Right.
Joker does not.
Hopefully, this is moot. Okay.
Yeah,
we got them for a while.
Look for me and Robin to maybe do 30 minutes of going, right after Oscar night. Let's draw a movie. This has been a long episode, not because of Michael. So I will say again, let's draw a movie.
What's the number?
The number is 662. All vetoes are on the board. Will one be used on the Lego movie? The first one. This is an interesting case.
Okay, that's cool.
Because the Lego movie is great. I loved it. I don't know if I am pumped about seeing it again or if it would be a good podcast episode.
I haven't seen it. So I don't.
Camila hasn't seen it.
I'm not going to spend my veto on this.
Right. No.
I feel the same way that I felt about like Finding Dory, which I guess I didn't have a veto for. But it's
still,
just like,
though, I feel like the animated films is not veto worthy. Like it would have to be.
No,
be like Beavis and Butthead, Steel America.
I have a lot to say about Lego Movie because there was this will be the second time the sweep of this podcast hit the same movie twice because I know there was a Lego Movie episode of You Can't Handle the Truth. It was a big surprise to walk into they made a movie out of Legos and walk out going that was delightful. So. We'll see how it holds up.
So it just might
now.
Be like an Ant-Man, another Ant-Man episode situation where it's just like, I mean, it was good.
That sounds like you're calling for an unofficial second half. That sounds like you're calling for a Rocky 3. This is unofficial. I'm just unofficial. Drawing another number.
That's cool.
And naming a movie. And we'll see what that does. This isn't an official anything. Just, you know, all of us individually... could watch Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows. Never mind. It's just the Lego movie. It's just the Lego movie.
We haven't had the privilege of RDJ yet. And I just got over the fact that, yes, I find Jude Law attractive.
Look, if you want to watch Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows, I'm not going to stop you. But I'm not. It's no Rocky 3.
Oh man,
it's a Lego movie, and this will let me give my TED talk on how Everything Is Awesome should have won Best Original Song.
Everyone knows that's true.
Yeah, the number one album in America. I'm starting to keep score. If you name it without me counting down the songs, you get 2 points. If you name it, if you're the first one to name it as I count down the songs,
oh, cool.
You get 1 point. The current score is Camila 1, Robin 0.
Does it count if we just give you the artist or do you have to have the title?
You would have to have the title.
Gotcha.
Again, the date is Christmas Day, December 25th, 1996. What was the number one album in America? Take one guess and then I will start naming songs.
Spice Girls.
Nope.
Go with it. Hanson?
Also no. Good guesses. I will now begin naming songs from the album in reverse order of how recognizable they are. This is one where you could get it right away. You'll definitely get it before the end. The songs are Different People, Hey You, Happy Now,
Different People,
Sunday Morning.
No Doubt.
Yes. The name of the album is...
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, Tragic Kingdom.
Tragic Kingdom.
Yay! And I just so happen to be wearing my Bush
yes.
hoodie today. 25th anniversary of 16 Stone.
Tragic Kingdom, another album that I own.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, the Different People and Hey You are generic titles. I thought Sunday Morning would give it away. Because that was a single. That was
a
big
was a
single.
Yeah.
And it
was
a good
it?
One.
I have no memory of it.
Was it just me, or was the Gwen Stefani Gavin Rossdale marriage like, we know it's not going to last, but you kids have fun.
Enjoy it.
I thought that it would. For a while. Maybe I did. Maybe I just really hoped that it would, and I was like
it
surprised at how
longer.
Long that it did
right.
last.
Yeah.
I think maybe.
But like you never were like, they're going to die together.
I've pretty much figured that Gavin was the cheating type.
Oh, is that what happened?
I think so.
I thought I think she cheated on him with the guy she's with now.
No, he cheated on her with a nanny.
Oh, God.
With the nanny.
Tale as old as time.
Exactly.
Speaking of Jude Law.
She's with Blake Shelton?
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
I know him more from a slot machine than reality. Like, there's a big Blake Shelton slot machine.
So, basically, I did want Gwen and Gavin to work out. Like, I was into that just as much as folks are into, like, you know, Princess Diana. And
I mean, her breakups, her breakup songs are just better than her
oh,
I'm Happy
God.
Songs.
Yeah.
Her best song, though, I think, is the one about is Cool.
Oh, that's a great song.
Which one's Cool?
It's like the We're Still Friends guy from No Doubt. Yeah. Even though we didn't last, and you like hanging out with my husband.
With me and my husband. I like hanging out with you and your girlfriend.
The first time I saw it, man, this episode is long. The first time I saw it, the first time I saw No Doubt, the guy that she used to be with came to the stage first and like posed for a second.
Tony.
And in my mind, he was going like, I'm responsible for all of this indirectly.
Yep.
Now here's the star.
I have a Tony in my life.
Oh, we all have Tonys in our life. And we're cool with them because you were there.